David Bao. I am an Ag Business Management Educator with Extension.
Dave, let's begin with the recent rainfall that much of Minnesota has seen and how it's impacting not just agriculture, but so many people have been affected by, in some cases, you know, almost a foot of rain. Tell me about the Worthington area where you live and what you've seen here this week.
Well, in Worthington, we actually had heavier rains earlier, and those water holes, there was water 59 probably 2 weeks ago from heavy rains, and the road, those potholes are actually drying up a little bit. If you go farther north to Murray County, on Tuesday morning, there were some areas that got 11 inches of rain in like 3 or 4 hours. And big washouts, heavy water flow. The lakes up there in the northern part of Murray County, I know the water level went up probably 1.5 to 2 feet at least, maybe more in some places. So Lake Chautauqua has a lot of damage. As far as cabins are surrounded by water in their basements. There's floating water toys out there on the lake moving around freely. So there's lots of damage there. And then on top of that, all the fields. So there's a lot of rural roads had water going over them as well. And there's ponds everywhere. Like by Highway 59 is still had water over the road yesterday. And the field just to the west of the road was where the water was ponding and coming over the top of the road. So there's lots of potholes now, so farmers are losing a big percentage of their crop, and that'll hurt their economics significantly. I had a meeting last week even in Sleepy Eye, and they've had heavy rains earlier too, so it's everybody's had more than they want necessarily for rain. And in Sleepy Eye area, or in Hanska, there's areas there that got drowned out as well. So one farmer was estimating, after all, taking account for all the poor water holes, if he got 159 bushel corn, he'd be happy. So on average for the whole field because of all the losses for the water holes.
You know, and thinking about the low commodity prices the last few years, a real saving grace has been high corn and soybean yields for farmers. So as we continue in this down cycle financially, the idea of having, you know, corn yield at less than 160, boy, that's a frightening prospect for a lot of folks.
It will be. It will be. And a lot of farmers are going to have, you know, 20% yield gone. It's going to be, those potholes are going to at least be that much of the field percentages. So I've seen fields that are half lakes. So it'll be quite a big loss. And the prices, like you said, the last few years, low prices were offset by better yields. They've still, in the southern Minnesota, they've lost money on corn for the last 4 years on cash rented ground in the adult farm management program. And that'll probably continue this year as well with corn. And if it lower yields, it'll probably even be a bigger loss, which is, I just read an article not too long ago about the better prices. So like from, we start in March and you go through May, those months compared to a year ago, the corn and bean prices were much higher than a year ago. And since I wrote the article, now they've gone much lower. So the good times they had maybe a chance before now have gone away. Right now, the beans around here, cash beans, start with a 7 instead of an 8 or a 9 or a 10, and they need a 10 to make the break evens. And corn prices are below 3, and some of them need close to 4 to break even on corn prices, even with good yields. So if you take the yields below their averages, it's going to be a more severe situation this year economically for farmers.
Yeah, you just think about the level of stress right now with the weather that we've been talking about. And on top of that, you have the trade disruptions, counter tariffs from Mexico and China this week, and a very real impact will be felt and has been felt by agriculture. Farmers need some good news, don't they, Dave?
They do, and there was some talk maybe that report last week would help on the crop report that came out last week of June, but it helped some, but not enough with all the other news. The tariffs that are being imposed. We have to export a lot of our beans out of state, and we need that world bean market. So that really has an impact on soybean prices for the Minnesota farmers, and that's a big percentage of our cropland in Minnesota is soybeans. And the corn prices really aren't going to go up much if bean prices are dismal. So that's the challenge for both crops right now.
The other topic we're going to talk about today, I wish it was a positive, but unfortunately, it's really not. The Federal Reserve, in a new report, shows ag bankers are raising interest rates on operating loans to farmers. It's a gradual increase, but certainly another financial challenge.
Yep, the cost, you know, they borrow, a lot of farmers borrow their input costs for the year as they're growing, so that interest rate will tick up a little bit and they'll increase their costs for borrowing that crop during the year. So again, that'll add a baseline expense that they didn't have the year before, and there's less money to go around even probably this year than there was last year. So it'll make the economics tighter for most farmers. That interest rate tick up, land values, surprisingly, are still holding themselves pretty strong. They haven't really gone down substantially. But eventually, rental rates will go down, and the economics will change, and that will eventually lead to land prices going down too. So, but right now, we still have some pretty good rents out there, which again, those higher rents are going to cause problems for the farmers that are paying them to try to pay them back if they have a fall payment. And land values will correspond to that rental economic return.
Looking at that Federal Reserve report, the average rate this spring, 5% compared to a 3.5% average back in 2015 when rates were at historical lows. So when you look at that, again, it's gradual, but going from 3.5 to 5% just makes those break-evens a lot tougher to accomplish. And like you talked about, you know, a lot of farmers were losing money on corn already. So just trying to manage through all of these variables, Dave, I guess what's some general advice specific to these rising interest rates, some things that producers can do?
Well, producers have already been doing a lot of managing for deferred sales or price buying things. Their equipment sale purchases have gone down dramatically. They've turned away some of their land. They've been renting at higher rates. That's been some of the things they've been for cost control. You know, like you said, that if the interest rate, if they say they borrowed $500 for input costs and that they had for 9 months, it would be an increase per acre on the corn ground of $5.6 per acre, just that 1.5% increase over the last few years. So they've got to look for ways to lower their input costs somehow, which they've been doing that. There's been more, less technology seed put in because seed costs are actually the highest cost in corn right now is seed. Jumped over fertilizer this year because fertilizer has been going down the last couple of years. And so they're looking for any way they can to manage their costs and try to survive these poor times and hope that the better times will come around the corner again.
That's really what it comes down to now, isn't it? Is survival mode.
Yep. There's still farmers that are in very strong financial positions, and that's part of the reason why land prices are still very strong compared to what they could be or should be. But that economics picture is getting dismaler as we speak, as that $3 corn or less isn't what farmers want to hear, and less than $8 beans is not what they want to hear either. So if those things stay in place, then the high prices of corn and beans really made prices go up for land and rents. Well, if these prices stay where they are, that's going to have the deficit effect the other way. It's going to go down.
And I'm sure you've been hearing for 2 or 3 years now comparisons to the 1980s farm crisis and the similarities and the differences comparing then and now. I do see in that Fed report the delinquency rates on these loans remains low. But like you touched on, you know, that working capital continues to erode. Do you see quite a few parallels between the 80s farm crisis and what's happening right now, Dave?
There's not a lot of parallels with the 80s right now because what the 80s had is the farmer's equity just disappeared and the cash flows were bad with high interest rates. This situation right now is we have wealth in farming. They have a great balance sheet. They have assets on the balance sheet. The problem is they have poor cash flows. So the cash flow is really the issue for farmers in the right current term. You know, rental rates are high, their input costs are high, and they, with the prices and yields, they can't make it all work. So, but on as far as land values and the amount of money they have borrowed against that land is much lower than it was in the 80s. They've been much more conservative in what they've lended and borrowed as far as financial institutions. So we probably won't have the same financial crisis that way as far as, but we're going to have we have a cash flow problem. So the farmers might get out of business and still be very wealthy, but they have no cash flow to pay the bills with. That's the problem. On paper, they're wealthy by balance sheets because their land is valuable, their equipment's valuable, but yet they can't make the payments of all the input costs and rents and things they have to pay for bills.